New Life. I do have a prayer request this evening from one of my kids that I used to coach in high school. He's a 22-year-old kid. He just graduated college. He's out in West Virginia, and I seen him over the holiday weekend, and he asked me to officiate his wedding. And I said, absolutely. You know, I'd love to do that. So I'll be going to Ohio in May sometime. But he conveniently forgot to tell me. He texted me on, I think it was like maybe Sunday or Monday. And he said, hey, by the way, I want you to know that I'm going to be preaching for the first time in my church. And would you pray for me? And so I said, absolutely. And so I've been praying for him for a while. His name's Keaton, but we're going to go to the Lord in prayer tonight to pray for him that he would be able to deliver a message that's from the Holy Spirit and that souls would be saved because of it. So join me in prayer if you would. Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, God, and we're so thankful as a people to know who you are as a God, know who you are as a Father. Lord, know who you are as a friend. And Lord, I pray for Keaton tonight as he's dipping his toes into ministry, God. He's following you in your footsteps, Lord, and he wants to serve you and he wants to obey you. And he's taking that first step out to deliver his first sermon. It wasn't too many years ago that I was in that same spot, Lord, and I'm thankful that you were faithful through the times I was running away. And God, that you've put my feet on the solid path, Lord. And I pray that Keaton tonight can deliver a heartfelt message, Lord, that you would calm his nerves, that the Spirit would take over, and God, that he would be able to deliver a message, deliver the gospel message to the body of students that he's going to be speaking to, Lord, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon him, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be upon that place, and God, that he would just glorify and honor you, and not just tonight, but in the future as well, as he says, yes, Lord. And Father, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you guys heard me or not, but there's a young man in nowhere, West Virginia, who got a call to preach God's word, to share the gospel with people, and he said, yes, I'm going to do it. So what I heard when he told me that, what I was excited about is if we're not going to share the gospel, if we're not going to do it in Huntington County, if we choose not to do it in our workplaces and our families, there's a 22-year-old boy in West Virginia who said, I will. And how encouraging it is to me, a kid 10 years younger than me, say, yes, God. And that tells me that God's not done. That there's people in this country that need a Savior. That there's people in nowhere West Virginia that need to hear the gospel. And that is so exciting, so encouraging to me that he's going to take that message to the students there, to the people there. And I don't know what God's going to do, but I know when you do things with him, it's always good. And so I'm excited tonight. And church, that leaves me in this leads me to this question. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you scared to share the gospel? I'm only preaching this Wednesday in December. That's the only Wednesday I got. It's the only Sunday. I don't have a Sunday, so I want us to pay attention. And in church specifically, I want you to challenge yourself as we go through these scriptures tonight and dig deep and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, am I ashamed of sharing the gospel? Am I ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ? Am I ashamed to live my life for Christ? And that is the challenge that I present to everybody who is a believer in Christ tonight. Am I ashamed? And not just am I ashamed, but if I am, will I, going forward, starting tonight, share the gospel with the people that I love and care about? We're going to see what Paul has to say about it. And then we're going to look at our responsibility as a church, as a people, as a nation, to take the gospel to the world. So if you have your Bibles, join me in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to be there for just a second, then we're going to go to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. But Paul is writing to the Romans, and he is the Roman church, and he opens up and he has this desire to visit Rome. He's wanting to go. And I'm actually going to pick it up in verse 14. It says, I am obligated both to the Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. And that's what he says in verse 16. And pay attention here. That's what he says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Let's pray and ask God to bless this time. Father, we come to you this evening and we're thankful that we were able to get here this evening, Lord, and that we were able to brave the cold weather, God, to hear your word. There's so many people who don't get to meet in a building like this to worship the Most High God. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we have this place to come on Wednesdays and Sundays to freely open your word, God, and that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you do that tonight, God, that you would convict our hearts. Lord, that you would make us excited about what you've done for us, God, and that we'd want to share it with the world. And Lord, we ask as we commit these next few moments to you, God, that we would just glorify and honor you in all that we do. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul sets the stage in verses 14 and 15. He says, I am obligated both to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and to the foolish. You see, Paul had this thing about him. Paul had this way about him that when he gave his life to the Lord, when he had that Damascus Road experience, he couldn't help but share with everybody, no matter where he went, no matter what people he talked to. He had to tell them about what Jesus did for him and what Jesus could do for them. He couldn't keep it to himself. He says, I'm obligated both to the Greeks and barbarians. He said, what he's saying here is, I'm telling everybody about Jesus. And there's no rock left unturned. I'm telling everybody, anywhere I go, everywhere I go, regardless of what happens to me, I'm sharing Jesus, because it made that big of an impact in his life. Church, did Jesus, has the blood of the Lamb, has it made an impact in your life so much so that wherever you go, that whoever you talk to, you want to share that with them? It's about Christmas time. I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but there's Christmas trees. And every Christmas morning, there's gifts under that tree. What greater gift could we tell somebody and share with somebody than that Jesus died for them? What greater gift could we tell them that, hey, I know that you have that you have a past, that you have a messed up life, but there's this man named Jesus who died for you to forgive you of all of your sins and all of your iniquities if you would put your faith and trust in him. What a gift to be unwrapped. What a gift to be accepted. Because the reality is, when you accept that gift, you now have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're no longer destined for hell, but for heaven. And what I can't understand for the life of me is why more of us, and I'm talking to us here, why are we not sharing that? We all had Thanksgiving dinners, right? We had time with family and friends. And I don't want to see hands, but I wonder how many of us in here share Jesus with people, with our brothers, our sisters, our moms, our dads. How many of us took the gospel to them? I'm under the conviction right now that if you invite me to something, expect Jesus to come. If you invite me to a cookout, hey, the Holy Spirit resides within me, he's coming with me, and you're going to hear about him. If we want to see a nation change, if we want to see a city change, if we want to see a workplace change, if we want to see a family change, this is the message that changes it. It is the gospel. And Paul says in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And he gives the why he's not ashamed. Because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Every single person who believes. Every single person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, and that he was the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived on this earth, that he died on a cross and was buried for 3 days, but 3 days he rose again. He spent 40 days before he ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. Whoever puts their faith in that message will be saved. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. I'm not ashamed to share that with everybody. I'm not scared to share that with everybody. And so, just, I do want to see a show of hands here. How many people have shared the gospel in their life? That Jesus loves them. Awesome. Awesome. Now, can I ask a little more serious question? When's the last time you did it? I saw the majority of the hands in the room go up when we asked if you have done it. But when is the last time you've done it? When's the last time you spoke about church to a lost world? When's the last? Let's just put the gospel aside for just a second. When's the last time that you invited somebody to church? When's the last time that you asked somebody if you could pray with them or for them? When's the last time you told them about how Jesus changed your life? When's the last time we opened up a Bible with people? I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that, oh, I do it all the time, because I don't. But I want to. That's my heart's desire, to share the words in this book, because there's life and everlasting life in them. And I'm excited. I'm excited to go to Fort Wayne to see people I don't know. To say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Hey, walk with me as I walk with Christ. Oh, you're having a bad day? Let me tell you about what Christ can do. Let me pray with you. Let me pray for you. And walk with people. And if we're not ashamed, we should be doing that. We should be. We should want to. And I pray that your desire tonight, desire as we leave these doors in this church house, is that you take the gospel to your world. And you're not ashamed, because the gravity of it is, it's salvation for everyone, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. It's for everybody. This saving knowledge, this manger scene is great. And around this time, we want to talk about baby Jesus coming. But what about him dying for their sins? What about him dying for our sins? Great segue. It's the beginning of it, but it's not the end. Guys, I'm serious. If we want to see a community changed, if we want to see families changed, truly changed, this is the message. This is the message that has to be preached. It's the gospel. It's the truth that's in the words in this book. And so then you say, well, what's my responsibility? I'm so glad you asked. Romans chapter 10 tells us that. So turn there if you would. And here's what's at stake. Souls in heaven. Some souls will go. Some of us are going to heaven because we put our faith and trust in Jesus. But the reality is, not everybody has. Not everybody has. So it's our job to tell them. And he says here in verse 13, chapter 10, verse 13, this is what Paul is writing. And I think you probably all, many of you know this by heart, says, For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what the Bible says. And I think this is oftentimes where we stop. We close it and say, okay, that's what it is. That's what it is. But what's our responsibility then? We love chapter 10, verse 13. But what's that look like? Well, he doesn't stop here. He goes on to say what our responsibility is. In verse 14 says, how then can they call on him they have not believed in? We see here a couple things. We see first that people will call on Jesus to save them if they believe that he can. So that begs the question, are we living proof that Jesus saves? Are you living a life that when people look at you, that they knew the old you, when they look at you now, they say, wow, that ain't the same person I knew. I shared this story, and I see new faces, so I'll share it again. When I got saved, I went on my bachelor party with my brother, and we went down to Bloomington, and we hiked, and we stayed the night at my old house, and we were laying there, and I was talking to him about Jesus, and, you know, talking to him about church and all these things, and we were kind of arguing, as brothers do, and I said, Mike, you can't say that I haven't changed. And he said, Phil, it's like I don't even know you anymore. I said, all right. Amen. That's what I was hoping for, because I'm not the same me I was when I was 19 years old. You're not the same you before you were saved. Many of us aren't the same person, and we shouldn't be. But are we living proof that when people look at us, they say, wow, something's different about him. Something's different about her. Something's different about them. What is it? What is it? What is it? Then we get to tell them. We see people will call on Jesus to save if they believe that he can. And it says this also, and how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? So it says, how can they believe without hearing about him? This hearing is knowledge. If people don't know that Jesus can save, and they don't know about him, they're not going to call out to him to be saved. Verse 13 is rendered useless. Because if they don't know about him, they're not going to call out to him. If they don't see the evidence, they don't see us living the life that we're supposed to, chances are they're probably not going to give their life to Christ. So let me just ask this. Are you guys, and I know I'm being very direct tonight, but it's important because I think that if we want to see things done differently, if we want to see souls saved, it's important. So if we expect people to know Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, do we know him? Do we know the characteristics? Do we know the stories? Do we know the scriptures? Do we know everything there is to know about him? Do we know, or are we just hoping that we catch something on a Sunday morning? We catch something on a Wednesday? Are we in our Bibles throughout the week? Are we just hoping for a good meal on Wednesday and a good meal on Sunday? If we don't know about him, there's no way that we're going to be able to tell people about who he is. There's no way that we're going to be able to stand firm when somebody challenges our beliefs and we say, well, here's what Jesus is. Here's who he is. Here's what he's done. Here's his characteristics. Here's his attributes. Here's what the Bible says. Whose baby is that? We have to know him. We have to know him. We're only going to know him by his word. His word tells us exactly who he is. Church, it's our responsibility to find it out. It's our responsibility. It should be our desire, honestly. And sadly, you know, we sang that first song, Soul on Fire. Was it Soul on Fire? Was that the first song? Is our soul on fire? Are we in a rut? Do we care about the person down the street who could die tonight and is going to hell? I mean, if we really do, we got to know who he is. We got to live like we're redeemed. We have to live like we've been saved. And he also says at the tail end of 14, and how can they hear without a preacher? Many of you guys are like, yeah. I'm glad you're called, not me. I'm glad you're in the pulpit, not me. That's not what he's saying. The preacher is who's going to take the word to them. Each and every one of you has a group of people that I will never meet. Each and every one of you has a workplace that I'll probably never work. You have a family member who is your mom, is your dad. They're not mine. You have kids that I might never met. You have cousins, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles. In church, if you don't take the gospel message to them, who's going to? If you don't tell your mom about Christ, who's going to? If you don't teach your kids about Jesus, who's going to? Are you hoping that? I see this a lot. Hey, you want to come to church? And they come to church and one of the pastors say, hey, here's this person. Here's my aunt. Pastor, here's my aunt. And we hand him off to the preacher as if he's the only one that can share the gospel. This call is not for just pastors. Are we familiar with what the Great Commission is? If we're not, I'm gonna read that just so that we're all on the same page. And it's in Matthew chapter 28. And this is what Jesus says. And just so we're all on the same page and we understand that, this is a call to the church. In 28 verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. He doesn't say, hey, preacher, this is for you. He didn't say, hey, pastor, this is you specifically. He said, he's talking to his disciples. What's a disciple? It's a follower of Christ. So what's the church? They're followers of Christ. They're believers of Jesus. So if you're hoping for people to come on a Sunday morning just to hear one man talk and you're not living your life and you're not being an example and you're not sharing and you don't know anything about him, what's the chances that they get saved? what's the chances that they give their life to Christ? There's a chance because they're alive, but shouldn't you be the catalyst for that? Shouldn't you be the reason they say, wow, something really changed? I think my parents are finally thinking that, okay, it wasn't a phase. This whole Jesus thing for Phil wasn't a phase. He's going to be planting a church 12 years later. Okay, wow, he didn't grow out of this. This is real life. And they saw a change in me. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that one day that they'll give their life to Christ. And when I go over there, Jesus comes with me. They're not always happy about it. They don't say much anymore because I have answers because I know who Jesus is. And my life has changed drastically, dramatically. But they know, hey, if Phil's coming over, Jesus is coming with him. Buckle up. Thanksgiving, I had a great talk with my mom. And I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. I said, no, this is just, it is what it is. And she's asking a lot more questions now. They're not so hard. They're more curious. And praise God for it. And I'm not saying this because I'm anybody great. I'm just letting God do what God wants to do with my life. Because I care about my mom, my dad. I care about Noah. I care about the people that I work with. Because I understand what's at stake. And if I'm not going to be that catalyst, if I'm not going to be that avenue, driver for the gospel where I'm at, most other people won't. So I got to make sure I'm doing my part and what God's called me to do. And he says in verse 15, and how can they preach unless they are sent? And we talked about the Great Commission. It's our responsibility as believers. You know, Sunday service and Wednesday service are great. I love preaching. I love sharing God's word. But if I'm only doing that here in front of you guys, and I'm not doing it in my workplace, I'm not doing it in my house, I'm not doing it at the grocery store, wherever I'm at, then I'm not fulfilling the Great Commission. I'm just sitting here waiting, hoping that the person I invite to church shows up. You guys with me tonight? If I'm just a Christian inside these walls, the gospel message doesn't get out. Souls don't get saved outside of here. People don't come to the Lord at my workplace. Because we want to confine God into a Sunday service, into a church building. And if we aren't being the church outside of here, nobody else is gonna. And how can they preach unless they're sent? That's a commission for all believers to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and doing all the other things that he's commanded. And he says, I'm with you even to the ends of the earth. There should be no fear. There should be no worry. There should be no, what if they reject me? They're probably going to. What if they make fun of me? They're probably going to. What if they laugh at me? They're probably going to. So what? I'll take somebody laughing at me. I'll take somebody hitting me. I'll take somebody imprisoning me. I'll take whatever it is because their soul's at stake. Paul got beat, stoned, thrown outside the city. You reenact, and get, what'd he do? His buddies came and grabbed. The next day, they went to the next town. So many people would call it quits after that, not Paul. Because the message was so important, he understood that if people died without a Savior, that they're going to hell. If they died without a Savior, they're going to hell. And our responsibility to share is just that. It's not our job to save. And by the way, I don't know if you knew that or not, you guys can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. That's all him. That's all Jesus. That's all the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all God. We have no power to save anybody. But we have a responsibility to share with everybody. He says in verse 16, but not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? We have a responsibility to share. We have a responsibility to live a life that's pleasing to God. We have a responsibility to know who God is through His Word and by His Word. We have a responsibility to share that message. But it's not our responsibility to make anybody come to Christ. We don't have that power. That's a choice that they have to make. Paul is talking specifically about Jews here, but this translates to today. I shared that, got the opportunity to lead two people to the Lord this year at work, and one took 3 years. One took 9 weeks. But it wasn't my responsibility to grab them by the collar and say, you're going to repent and you're going to give your life to Christ. No, they had to figure that out on their own. In the meantime, I had to be a good witness. I had to know my Bible. I had to pray with them. I had to walk with them. I had to love on them. But God's the one who saves. God is the one who saves. And Paul, in this little area that we're in, sums it up, sums everything he says up in verse 17. He says, "So faith comes through what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." One can come to faith in Christ only through the gospel, but that gospel must be the one true gospel. I want to share two things I'm almost done, but I want to share two things. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 10, say this, and I just want you to get this visual because I think it's fantastic. And this is John getting revelation from Jesus. It's almost as God is opening up the future to John to look through, to write. And this is what he says. "After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Question I have is, what are you doing to add to that number? After this, this is what John writes, "After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number." What are you doing to add to that number? Can you imagine on the day of judgment, you're standing before the Lord and He's recounting the things that you did in your life? And He said, "Yeah, you got in, but you didn't try to win a single soul from me. Yeah, you got in because you put your faith and trust in Jesus, but you didn't share the gospel not once." What are you going to say to the Creator of heaven and earth on that day when He says, "Yes, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but what about everybody else? What about every other relationship? What about every other person that you didn't think was important?" So church, what are you doing to add to that number? And the last thing I want to say before I close is this. I would love to see a revival in the world, in the entirety of earth. I would love to see that. But if that's not going to happen, I would love to see a revival in North America. But if that's not going to happen, I'd love to see a revival in the United States. But if that won't happen, I'd love to see a revival in the great state of Indiana. And if that ain't going to happen, I'd love to see a revival in Huntington County and in Allen County. And if that's not going to happen, I would love to see a revival at New Life Fellowship Church and New Song Community Church when we start. But if that's not going to happen, I would love to see a revival. In you. And if that's not going to happen, I want to see a revival in me. Let me tell you something. When you start with what you can control, when you start with yourself, when you start with saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to take a stand for you. Yes, God, I'm going to be in your word daily. Yes, Lord, I'm going to see, make sure that my spiritual walk is good, and then I'm going to make sure that my family's spiritual walk is good, then I'm going to make sure that my friend's spiritual walk is good, and it starts building. Guess what? We're going to see revival, and we're going to see souls saved, and we're going to be able to usher in new people when we're into heaven, and God's going to be pleased with us. So church, won't you please, I'm begging you, please share the gospel. Please be the church outside of this building, because there are souls at stake. And if we're not going to tell them, nobody else will. Nobody else will. So let's go ahead and stand.